And we're going to broaden our conversation now to nudity in art and how it's been received over the ages and what's appropriate for kids. Tell us what you think at 816-235-2888 or on our Facebook page. We already have a lot of comments there. There's this one from Carol. She says, leave it to Kansas to take us back to the 18th century. Kids see more nudity on TV than they will ever see in an art museum. Or I'll add an arboretum, I suppose. And Denine says, my issue is that her head is lopped off and her middle is missing. The disjointed human form is jarring to me. Nude is nude. It's in galleries around the world. I just don't particularly care for this one. So joining us here in the studio to talk about nudity in art and different ways it's portrayed, we have here Robert Cohen. He's curator of ancient art at the Nelson Atkins Museum and also teaches art history at UMKC. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Now, Robert Cohen, you've just been working on the display of Fauno Rosso, ancient Roman satyr in Kirkwood Hall. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. We've been very, very lucky to get from the Capitoline Museums in Rome one of their most precious objects, and that is a sculpture of a, frankly, very drunken and very handsome-looking satyr. It'll be on display until September 29th, and it is shockingly beautiful, wonderful piece.
And it is mostly nude?
Oh, it's, yes, actually it is very, very nude. Really is very much a celebration of the beauty of the human body and the attendant pleasures of it. It is certainly a very dramatic sculpture, all in red marble, and people tend to gaze at it for a long time.
Can you describe it a little bit more? It's
red marble,
but what is he doing?
Okay. Well, first of all, he's mostly human, but he's also a follower of Dionysus and has certain features of a goat. So he has a goat's tail, and he also has dewlaps, and he's a very randy kind of fellow. And he's carrying with him some grapes. He's going to turn them into wine. He lifts up a cape revealing his body. His hip is twisted to the side. The genitalia are dramatically portrayed with folds of flesh over them and muscles, the quads, dramatically descending from the hips. It is an extraordinary image, and I must say that the back is probably twice as powerful as the front.
Huh. Now, I have heard that some parents are averting their kids' eyes as they walk past the sculpture. Does that surprise you?
Well, sure. It doesn't surprise me. And it's that's just part of kids growing up. And frankly, I was astonished at what a powerful work it is. So it's understandable, sure.
And how was nudity seen at the time that that sculpture was created?
Well, nudity... there's all kinds of nudity, aren't there? I mean, there is the, shall we say, erotically charged nudity, and then there is another kind of nudity that doesn't have such a strong flavor. And basically, in antiquity, especially in the Greek world, you find images of young men who are nude. Usually they're athletes. Sometimes they are civic leaders, and you find them in cemeteries. You find these images in sanctuaries. You find them in stadiums, in even civic centers, and indeed in imperial residences. So it was quite common in the ancient world.
And you do point out that there are all kinds, and the sculpture that we were talking about in the previous segment in Overland Park is making a particular statement with nudity, and throughout history, there are many messages that may be coming across through nudity, not just the celebration of the human form. I do want to introduce our other guests who are here with us, also from the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, Adam Johnson, who's head of public programs there. Welcome, Adam.
Thank you, Sylvia.
And artist Karen Mathis. She curated a show last year called Body of Work of Images Depicting the Human Body. Thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you.
Karen, I wonder, have you heard about this sculpture in Overland Park? Have you seen it?
Well, before I came on this morning, I did a little research on it, and in my search, it came up right away. All I had to do is, you know, type in statue in Overland Park, and it's, I guess, a big deal. I haven't seen the statue. I looked at it briefly.
And are you surprised by the reaction that you hear?
I'm a little surprised by it, but you know, I haven't seen it, and I don't know where it is in the sculpture park, and I don't know how big it is. So I think all those things would factor into, I think, a reaction to seeing the work.
No, just to broaden that conversation, you know, has nudity always been a part of art, Robert?
For sure. And even in the third millennium, you find it. Even 35,000 years ago, you find great examples of it. So, yes, it has always been there.
And is it always about sex?
Oh, my goodness, no. I mean, you have Michelangelo painting St. Peter in the buff in the Sistine Chapel, and certainly that's far, far from it. So a lot of times it just simply is a way of showing one's masculinity, one's power. In ancient societies, basically, these are militarized societies, and men must be in good shape because they will be at some point fighting for their lives and for their city. And so the celebration of the human body, particularly a very muscular one, that's very important.
Now, Karen Mathis, you curated an exhibit in Lawrence last year called Body of Work, Interpretations of a Live Model. You probably had a number of nudes in there, right?
Yes, we did, because we studied live models when we drew and painted from them.
And now, working with nude models is a standard thing for artists. Do they see naked bodies differently from the rest of us?
They might, only because they draw them so much that it is nothing to see, I think, a naked body. And I think the models are very comfortable with their bodies. And it seems nothing to us because we've drawn them so much.
But do you think artists realize that for those of us who don't look at naked bodies quite as much, that you know, we're not in middle school anymore, but still sometimes there can be a little surprise or shock or giggle?
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, that surprises me that people would be shocked by a body, because we all have them. It does shock me a little bit still that people have such a reaction to the naked body. It does surprise me.
Adam Johnson, I want to bring you into the conversation. Sure. as running public programs, and you've worked with children at the museum. Does it surprise you that people react to nude bodies?
You know, not at all, actually. There's a whole range of reactions to the nude human form, just as much as there are humans and versions of the nude and naked body within an art museum or similar settings. So what we try to do when working with youth audiences is really actually first make allowances for the reactions that are really perfectly normal coming from a variety of audiences, including young children, middle school, and high school students as well.
How are the reactions different?
Well, you know, I mean, depending on, again, the level of comfort, the cultural beliefs, the understanding of the subject matter from the student's perspective coming into a place like the museum, the reactions really can be all over the place. Typically, what we often get is we'll often get kind of pointing, giggling, you know, something that kind of signals that this is a little bit unusual in terms of the children, their own life experiences.
And how do educators or parents respond to that?
Well, you know, what we do at the museum, our educators, our docents, and our teachers who work really closely with kids, really try to normalize the experience as much as possible. And kids often base their own reactions to subject matter like nudity based on the reactions that they see from their adult folks who are with them. So we really model a really kind of natural sort of understanding and awareness of the works, these works within the museum. And we also try to, as much as possible, really kind of set a certain expectation, letting the kids know immediately these will be on tour. You will see them. This is they are part of what we have in the museum. And if you'd like to talk about it, we can talk about it.
Robert Cohen, is you dealing with ancient art, I'm sure you come across nudes. You get used to it, too, like the artists who paint nude models often. Or you're looking at me a little quizzically. Maybe you don't get used to it.
Well, one never gets used to a great work of art, something like the Fauna Rosso at the Nelson. It is so shockingly wonderful that you always find something new and great about it. You never quite get used to a great work of art. Same way you never get used to a great play by Shakespeare. There's always something that draws you in, that surprises you.
Well, we're going to continue talking about this just after a short break. Then we'll be back to talking about nudity in art, what's been acceptable over time in different cultures. And we're taking your calls at 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or email us at kcurrents@kcur.org. You're listening to Casey Currents. Welcome back to Casey Currents. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. A controversial sculptor at the Overland Park Arboretum has inspired our conversation today about nudity and art. With us in the studio are Robert Cohen and Adam Johnson of the Nelson Atkins Museum and artist and curator Karen Mathis. Robert Cohen, I wonder, what has been the reaction to nudity over the years? I mean, I know there's a broad span of history you could talk about, but there are cultures and times in which people have not wanted to see naked bodies.
Well, that's truly so. And at around the 3rd or 4th century AD in the Mediterranean, especially in the Eastern Mediterranean, emperors start putting back on their clothes. And so by the 6th century, it's impossible to imagine a emperor in the buff, whereas in the 1st and 2nd centuries AD, there are plenty of examples of that. Huh. So there are dramatic changes that take place.
Is that because they had beautiful bodies before the 6th century?
That I can't speak to. But I suspect that with the Christianization of the Mediterranean basin, that a different attitude towards nudity begins to develop.
Mm-hmm. And what about in our era now? I mean, do you have a sense of what's acceptable in our culture? I mean, clearly this conversation happening means different people have different ideas about what's acceptable. What's your sense, Karen, of our era?
Our era is full of just different messages, I think, because I think I still see a little prudishness, but then you turn on TV and you see all sorts of things. So I think it's a lot of mixed messages. I don't think that you could probably give a blanket statement about what our era is like right now.
Adam, as you look through sort of history, what do you think?
Just going off a little bit about what Karen said about, you know, so the pervasiveness of the body in a whole host of contexts on the media, these really become teachable moments within certain settings, especially within an art museum, because there are different contexts which can allow parents with their children to really think about issues like, well, what's the difference between the way we see this body in this setting versus the way we might see a body on TV? So I think, you know, there is a pervasiveness, and I think there is some discomfort with the subject matter within our own time. But I think those can really be powerful teaching moments for youth audiences.
Well, we have on the phone Morgan from Parkville. Hi, Morgan.
Hi, thanks for having me. I just wanted to say, follow up with that teaching moment that I have two young children. They're 4 and 2, and we take them to the Nelson, you know, probably a couple times a month. And we look at all the nudes and talk about how they have elbows, we have elbows, they have knees, we have knees, and yes, they have genitals and we have genitals. But we try to make it normal, and I think it's the not letting it be normal that is causing more of a problem. And I personally have no problem with nudity. I don't want my children to ever feel ashamed of their bodies. And I want them to realize that this is part of art and that's part of life and that it's something that we should value, not try to hide.
Adam, you have some thoughts about that?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with what you're saying. You know, when the naked human body is something that is absolutely universal. Every single one of us in the world is naked at some point or another, and often multiple times a day. So with young children, especially, I think the caller's remarks are really good ways of engaging younger children with the issues of nakedness and nudity, and that is relating it to their own experiences, relating it to their own bodies, relating it to what is familiar for them in their experiences.
And now, this is, we've been talking about art in a museum. Of course, there is public art too, and there people don't have really a choice. They haven't gone to the museum specifically to see it. Wonder if any of you have thoughts about the difference there.
I think that there are similarities within the setting, but I think that what can be the most challenging are the expectations that parents may have when bringing children to certain spaces. As I think was mentioned earlier in the program, there are expectations that when you do go into a place like the Nelson Atkins, there will be nudity in certain contexts, but maybe within other settings around the city, there is a surprise. And I think it's the surprise or the unpreparedness of it that makes sometimes the conversations between parent and child a little bit more challenging.
We have a call here from John in downtown KCMO. Hi, John.
Hey, guys, great show today.
You have a question or a comment? You
know, yeah, I got a comment. Yeah, you know, or sort of question, comment. I grew up in a evangelical household, and for us, you know, the human naked human body was sort of taboo and forbidden to see. And I'm wondering how much that plays into, like, the over-sexualization of art today, even, like, the one in Overland Park, where it really was never that way throughout history, and how that sort of adds to our paranoia about, you know, the naked body and art.
You mean that adds to the over-sexualization on the part of the artist or
yeah,
on the part of the viewer?
Just because it was so taboo and everything that I feel like it created an over-sexualization of, you know, something that's beautiful. And now people, you know, parents have a fear of their kids seeing it because of how they were raised, but it's really not bad, if that makes sense at all.
On the part of the viewer, not on the part of the artist.
Yeah, on the part of the viewer, correct.
I think one thing that can be said about that is that what's important for people to know, and I think that often gets forgotten, is that the art itself is an inanimate object. It is just a thing. So the issues of nudity and the body are not from the object. They're actually from us when we engage in the object. So certainly cultural beliefs, sensitivities, that all play so much into the reception of works of art. For example, our education colleagues at European museums really don't have a lot of these. They don't really deal with these issues of nudity as often as we do. They're a little perplexed that in America these are issues. There's cultural differences there, and certainly the pervasiveness of the nude form across cultures also signals a variety of different responses.
Yeah, and in Europe and other parts of the world, you do see nudity even more on television and other places. Some people think we see it too much.
Yeah, and if I may add, you know, you have Michelangelo's David in the 16th century standing right in the middle of the heart of Florence. I mean, this was just something that was regularly seen by everyone.
Now, Karen Mathis, you curated this exhibit in Lawrence last year called Body of Work. And after the show ended in Lawrence, you were approached by an art space in Wichita to show it there. What happened to that show?
Well, it's interesting. They came to us and asked us to carry the show to City Arts in Wichita. And at the last minute, they got cold feet because there was partial nudity in some of the works shown.
And had you thought about how that nudity would be received by your audience in Lawrence and then by the audience in Wichita?
It was interesting. We just didn't think it was a controversial show at all. The intent wasn't for controversy. It was pretty much work just based on figure studies, basically. And, we were very surprised it was controversial at all.
And what do you think? Were there particular pieces that they were concerned about?
It's interesting. We had all of our images pre-approved by City Arts before they wanted a pre-approval. And some of the things that they had problems with were just like partial nudity, like from the back sitting down. They were not comfortable with any sexual parts showing.
From the back sitting down. That's
mm-hmm.
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Sorry.
Are there things that you think about it as a curator, Robert and Karen, you curated that show too, about where you place nudes in an exhibit or maybe more charged pieces in an exhibit?
Well, you know, at the Nelson Atkins, we have this fabulous sculpture, the Fauno Rosso, this red satyr, basically right in the middle, in the heart of the museum. It's simply a magnificent work, and so we thought, put it in the best place possible. It wasn't an issue.
Wasn't a provocative placement.
No, it was a magnificent placement. It looks fabulous there, and that was the chief concern.
Now, in particularly, I think, more modern contemporary art, there are pieces that use nudity in order to provoke, and that can even go towards what we might think of as pornography or violence. And I know that sometimes museums will place those in rooms behind curtains. I wonder if any of you can speak to the thought that goes behind that placement in museums.
Well, you know, at the Nelson, we actually don't conceal our works of nudity. For example, in the American Galleries, one of Kansas City's own great artists, Thomas Hart Benton, we've got the Persephone, which is a very provocative nude. She is taking the pose of a pinup, so there's something very eroticized about her form, but it takes point of prominence within the gallery it has. It has a host of really interesting issues, and when youth or family audiences see a work like that, it's really important to discuss it within its context. And one of the things that we find are, especially when works are contemporary, because all works of art are contemporary at one point in their history, that sometimes what is provocative lessens with time. So, for example, Thomas Hart Benton's Persephone is really sort of held aloft as this really fabulous, great work of art that doesn't tend to titillate as it might have done when it was first presented. So that's also an important issue to address with works.
You know, I just want to say something as an artist. This is a little bit different than your question, but as an artist, when we're creating work, we don't want to think about the end, what happens after we're creating. We want to just create the best work that we can do. We don't want to worry if the work is going to be shown. Is it going to be sold? We just are concerned with the issues when we're working on it. Does that make sense?
That is interesting, but sometimes things are intended to provoke, right?
Yes, yes.
And Robert?
Yeah, I think that so much of really great art is an examination of the human condition, of who we are. And, of course, one's instinctual life plays a tremendous role in our being. And I think art is a study of that, is a celebration of it, is an embracing of it. So it's in the museum.
And artists, I think, very well understand the how loaded the human body can be with cultural meaning. And sometimes they exploit it in provocative ways for a variety of reasons, not only for shock value, but sometimes to raise really important questions that they hope audiences ask amongst themselves.
You're listening to Casey Currents on KCUR 89.3 FM. I'm Sylvia Maria Gross. We're talking about nudity in art. With us in studio, our arts educator, Adam Johnson, curator Robert Cohen, and artist and curator Karen Mathis. I am wondering to bring back, you mentioned the instinctual sort of part of us as humans, and maybe that's what makes people sometimes uncomfortable about when dealing with their children and dealing with their children's instincts and how their children react to things. I wonder, Adam, how do you sort of deal with that? I mean, a lot of people just don't want to tap into that.
You know, I think it's goes back to a couple of issues. One is the sort of normalizing. One is the reaction that the parents themselves have. If there's discomfort and quick movement away from something, sometimes it actually heightens a child's awareness of something. So we feel that really often dealing with the issue head on in an age-appropriate manner is sometimes the best way to deal with the concerns or thoughts that we are most concerned that the children have. And sometimes it's more the discomfort of the parent dealing with the topic than it is the child's actual ability to handle the topic.
We have a call here, James in Olathe. Hi, James.
Hi, guys. Great show. Actually, you guys just touched on my point. I was going to bring up the fact that, you know, when you tell children they can't look at something that's going to either make them want to look at it more or possibly think that something is wrong with it. I remember growing up as a child, we took many field trips in elementary school to the Nelson and saw many nude forms. But, you know, I just think that it's very important because it shows them that this is it's an art form. It's rather than in the media when human bodies are objectified. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, I don't know if anyone remembers, but I want to say it was ABC back years ago showed Schindler's List uncut, and there's plenty of nudity in it simply because it was an art form.
On Schindler's List? I'm sorry?
Yes, on Schindler's List. That was shown on primetime public television.
Huh. And yeah, getting into nudity in films and on television is a whole other, I think, can of worms. Except that that's one of the main ways I think that that sometimes we see these images and then we bring that experience with us when we go to the museum or see public art. I wonder what you think about sort of how that influences how we see art, just what we're used to seeing on television or movies or all those images.
Well, I think it does, in fact, impact how the response to nudity happens. I think it does elicit some of the giggles that we often hear in the galleries, both from adults and youth audiences. So, but I think, again, that context that we often experience nudity, either through film, through media, through television, and then the sort of very different experience when approaching a work of art in a variety of different contexts, again, is just such a great moment to then really reflect back on how the nudity is experienced within the media. So, and sometimes you can't really do that until you experience nudity in a completely different form.
We have a call from Mike in South Kansas City. Hi, Mike.
Hello. I was just going to comment. When I was in college, I wasn't going there, but I had friends going to the Art Institute, and I went down there, and they were they had some nudity, you know, painting, and you know, and that's why we went down there. So, but in our immaturity, but my point is, you know, in so much of the art, they're not Playboy bunnies. They're pleasantly plump, and I'm talking females, pleasantly plump, and I can see a child going and seeing art and seeing and relating a lot to when they've seen their parents nude, you know, getting dressed or, you know what I mean, around the house.
Well,
and so, so James, it's, that's my comments. I'm just going to hang up and shut up.
So thank you, Adam.
You know, and that scenario would be, I mean, how great would it be to look at one of those pleasantly plump works of art and then ask the child, well, think about the models, the half-nude models that you see in magazines on a daily basis. What's the difference? Why has the artist chosen to do this? Why do you think we tend to look at the nude female form within this within these contexts? So it's a, again, a great teachable moment.
Well, it's interesting that he also says that nudity is what draws people to art sometimes. Makes it fun.
I'm really glad he liked the work.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you all for joining us. Adam Johnson is head of public programs at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Robert Cohen, curator of ancient art at the Nelson Atkins Museum also, and has been working on that Fauno Rosso that is in Kirkwood Hall right now. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Karen Mathis, artist and curator, thank you for sharing your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up after the break, we meet a bar owner in South Philly. He's not from KC, but he loves the Chiefs and is hosting a block party for the game tonight, deep in Eagles territory. This is KC Currents.